1 Kings 17 chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse number 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you so much for the Bible, the Word of God. I thank you so much for loving us and sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. And Father, today, this preacher needs your help, needs your power, needs your wisdom. Above all today, Lord, we want to see you magnified and honored in all of these services. We trust, Father, that as the Word of God goes forward, Lord, that it'll be able to work in all of our hearts and do that which is necessary to be done. We would pray, Lord, today, should there be anyone here without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that this would be the day, Lord, that they're born into the family of God. We ask your perfect and wonderful will be done, for we ask this in the lovely, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. You go through the Bible, certainly the Old Testament, when God sent prophets to his people, you'll find out that he did not send prophets to them during good times. He sent them to them during declining spiritual problems and troubles in the land of Israel. And so when you find a prophet coming onto the scene, you know something's a matter. You know there's a problem coming. And so here we find Elijah here coming and predicting the weather a lot better than some of the meteorologists are doing today. Elijah knew exactly what he was doing. He got his word from the word of God. I've so many times just went to bed of a night saying, man, it's going to do this tomorrow, and got up and just done the opposite of what it said. Amen. So I know those fellows can't help it. I guess I ought to say ladies too. I'm going to be accused of some kind of thing, you know, but there's lady meteorologists and men meteorologists and all these things, but they most time don't know what's going to happen. They do their best with what the information they get, but when God comes on the scene, it's going to happen just exactly like he said it was. And Elijah here is a man of God, and the Bible tells us right off that he speaks in the name of the Lord God of Israel. First of all, you want to know when a prophet comes around, prophet, Old Testament prophet here, you'll always notice the Word of God came to them. In other words, they was given the Word of God. We today could not be considered prophets. We are not prophets as they was prophets. They was given the Word of God, new Word of God, new revelations. What we have today is we have the Word of God. It's already here. Every single bit of it, it's complete. Nothing else needs to be done. Or to be given, doesn't need to be changed. We've got the old King James Version of the Bible, so we just get in it and believe it and study it and preach it. And that's what we do today. We're preachers of the Bible, preachers of the Word of God. But back then, they was prophets. The Word of God came to them. They penned it down. They said, and they gave the Word that God gave them, you see. And so we find that Elijah here was a man who was God's man. And he stood for God, and he listened to the Lord, and he came to the people of Israel in the name of the Lord. We find also here is what the real problem was, and as usually was in the time when God sent prophets. The problem was Jehovah was Israel's God. No doubt about that. Baal was not a god. He was nothing. He was a false god to the people of Israel and the heathens around them, but he absolutely was nothing. Didn't exist. It was something in the figment of their imagination. But anyway, God was God. And what was going on was this. There had to come a time when God forced these people to decide, who's going to be God to you? Who's going to be the one who you worship? Who's going to be the one that you love? Who's going to be the one that you trust, that you put your trust in? Who's going to be the one that you depend upon from day to day to take care of you and meet the need of your life? Who's the one who you're going to serve? You see, that was the problem. That was the decision that had to be made back in Israel. Who's going to be God in the land. In other words, who's going to rule the land of Israel? Who's going to do that? What laws are you going to go by? Are you going to go by God's laws or man's laws? That was the decision that had to be made in Israel. And so God sent a prophet by the name of Elijah along to preach unto them some things and to bring some judgments upon them to turn the people of Israel back to his God. Well, you know, the issues today has not changed. They're still the same issue. Here in America, it's still the same issue that was back here with Israel. I know that was God's country, that was God's people, I understand all that. But the issue is the same as it was back then. Who are we going to worship in this country? Who are we going to love? Who are we going to trust? Who is it we are going to depend on from day to day? And who is it we're going to serve? See, it all comes down to the same issues of life as it was back then in America. Who are we going to love, worship, trust, depend on, serve? Who is it? We've got to understand it's the true God, the living God. And so I say to you, the issues are no different today. And when you want to bring it down, not only in the country-wise or in America, let's bring it down individually. The same question is, who is it we're going to worship? Are we going to worship the true and the living God, or are we going to worship and trust and love the false gods of this world? Who is it you and I is going to depend on? Are you going to depend on, from day to day, God Almighty, or are you going to depend on somebody or this world? Who is it you're going to depend on? You and I have found out in life that God can take care of things. God does meet the need. May not always be like we think it would be, how it come the way that we think it would be. In fact, if you go on down through this story, you'll find out God sent a bunch of ravens to feed Elijah. Now, that's the most unusual thing you ever seen. A raven was a vulturous creature. I mean, it devoured anything it got a hold on, dead meat, live meat, whatever. It was a terrible creature. And yet God used the raven. In fact, that's where we get our word ravenous from. It's from the bird raven. And I'm just simply saying to you folks, it's a devouring bird, and yet God said, and God sent a raven to feed Elijah. Most unusual. Amen. Instead of eating the food, the raven brought it down and gave it to Elijah, fed him. I want to tell you, there's plenty of ravens out there as God's got. Unusual ways to take care of his people. Unusual. Sometimes we wonder how God's going to do it, and God just does it. He sends a raven unexpectedly to us. That's the way God does those things, you see. He's wonderful, and he's a mighty God. But the issues today is the same as it was back then. We're going to have to decide who are we going to worship, who are we going to trust, who are we going to love, who are we going to depend upon, who we're going to serve. Every single individual has to make that decision in your life. Who is it you're going to serve, the true and living God or the false gods of this world? Now, we find in that verse number 1 that he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. There's no doubt in my mind God's alive. Amen? I mean, that's a silly thing to even discuss. It's a silly thing to even talk about. I know years ago they came out with that thing, God is dead. It's a foolishness of people, and it's silliness. I realize that. But I want you to know God lives, and he's a living God. And he's constantly working and working with these people and loving these people and taking care of these people. He's constantly doing that. And so Elijah wanted Ahab to know that he served a living God, not the old false god of Baal. But he served a living God. We find that Elijah was a servant of God. In verse number 1, he says, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. In other words, Elijah wanted him to know, wanted Ahab to know, that he had just stood in the presence of God. I would have probably added this because the flesh would do this. I'd say, you know, it's nothing, Ahab, to stand before you. I just come out of the presence of God. So you're nothing. He didn't do that. He's more gracious than I am. He probably done what God wanted him to do. Amen. And so that's what he done. But what I'm saying to you is it was nothing for him to stand before Ahab. Now, Ahab, from the earthly standpoint, could have taken him and beheaded him. I'm talking about from the earthly standpoint, because he had the power to do that as the king, but he couldn't do that to Elijah because he was God's man. And so anyway, he come and he said, I stand in the very presence of God. And that has a lot more meaning than we understand. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of, the tribe of Levi, it was said about Levi, the tribe of Levi, it said this, the Lord thy God has chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord. Levi was a tribe that was chose to stand and minister. What that means is simply this, to stand before God Almighty and do his bidding, whatever God wanted. To stand prepared and ready. To whatever God wanted it to be done, he'd just do it. The tribe of Levi was just going to mind God and do what was supposed to be done. In the book of Luke, the first chapter of Luke, the angel Gabriel said this, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God and am sent to speak with thee. Once again, he was saying, I stand in the very presence of God, waiting on his bidding. And he's told me to come speak to you. Now this is exactly what Elijah was saying in this verse number one. Elijah was saying this. He said, before whom I stand. In other words, he was saying, I'm his servant. I'm the servant of God Almighty, and I stand in his presence ready to do whatever it is that he wants me to do. Now he was getting the point over real good. He was telling Ahab, he said, I want to tell you, I come out of the presence of God. God is the one who's just told me that I ought to come speak with you, and I've got a message for you. And he was saying, I speak in the name of the Lord, in behalf of the Lord. He's told me to come and bring this message to you. So we find that he stood not only in the presence of God and came to deliver that message, but he stood with God completely. It did not take him very long to give Ahab the message. In other words, he was not afraid to tell Ahab what God had sent him to tell him. Now, can I just encourage you? Folks, you're all going to grow up in a world that's getting more wicked every day that we live. You're going to be growing up, some of you young people are going to be growing up in a wicked world that hates God. Now, they may not tell you they hate God, but all of their actions, all the things they do, where they go, what they say, all of these things just simply say to us, they hate God. And they don't want the will of God done in their life. So what I'm saying to you, you're going to grow up in a generation even more harder than the generation that I grew up in a generation that does not want the will of God in their life. And what I want you to do is I want you to have some courage to stand like an Elijah stood and simply tell the truth no matter what happens. And even if it's a king that God puts you before, be willing to stand up and give the message that needs to be given to that king no matter who it is. But we're not just talking about delivering messages to kings. We're talking about delivering messages on a day-to-day basis. That you and I need to have some courage about us to be able to witness for Jesus Christ. Instead of being so scared to death to talk to people out there that need the Lord, just stand up and witness about Jesus Christ. And tell the world that he's the Savior. He's the only way that they can get saved. But we're living in a world today where there's not much courage out there. It's unpopular to take a stand for God. And so because of that, we don't see a whole lot of it. Now, you'll have to determine what you do in your life. You'll have to decide whether you witness for the Lord or not. You know that. You know whether you ever stand for the Lord, whether you ever take a stand and speak of Christ to anybody. You know that, whether you do or not. And you know if you don't, that you're wrong. You know that. And the whole thing about it is Elijah was a man who set a great example for us. He simply was a man who brought the word of God. He served God. He stood before God, came out of the presence of God, did whatever God wanted him to do, and spoke the message that God wanted him to bring. And he did so courageously, with courage in his heart, just standing and doing what God wanted him to do. Over in Jeremiah, there's an interesting verse of scripture in Jeremiah, the 12th verse. It says this, if thou hadst run with the footmen, now listen to what it says. If thou hadst run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? It's a very interesting verse of scripture, and what God is saying is this. He's saying to them, if the footmen who just are on foot, and you're having trouble keeping up with them, or you're having trouble keeping ahead of them, or fighting them that's on foot, what are you going to do when the horses come? Who has such great power and speed. What are you going to do when they come? Now, folks, listen. Some of us today, we just kind of want to use all kinds of excuses why we don't witness, why we don't do this, and why we don't do that. What are you going to do when the hard times come? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This preacher's been preaching this for a good little bit. You can call me a fanatic. You can call me anything you want to. But I'm going to tell you, the hard times are coming. You think we've seen it. You think it's bad now. We haven't seen anything. The hard times are coming. And I'm telling you right now that it's all in place out there. All you do, if you do a little reading and studying and understanding, it's all in place out there. United States of America has all kinds of enemies. I mean, all kinds of enemies. And they're going to do everything they can to destroy this land. And they're going to come to our land and try to do that. You just wait. You just see. And it's going to happen. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. Now you say, Brother Rose, how do you know that's true? Well, I can tell you, because it's a principle from the Word of God. When a nation turns against God, God is going to send judgment on that nation. And America has turned her back on God. Oh, you say, I haven't turned. I didn't say you turn your back. I said America has turned her back on God, and there's a price to be paid for that. So I know things are going to get worse and worse and worse. Practically every day I live, I think about this. You'd ask my wife. We'll talk sometime about it. I have such a burden and concern about this. I really believe that Jesus is coming soon. I want to see so much, see people saved, born into the family of God. And it seems like the more I preach and the harder I preach, it seems like sometimes people just don't listen. And they just sit there and they don't do anything. And it grieves me. I don't know whether it grieves you or not, but it grieves me. I believe we got to get busy. I believe it's coming. And I think you and I are going to face some things. And what are these little ones down here going to face one of these days if Christ does not come in the very near future? What are these guys and young ladies going to face one of these days? What are they going to have to do one of these days to stand for Christ? We just got to be busy. And we need some Elijahs. We need some people like Elijah who just stand up and just say, this is the way it is. This is the Word of God. This is the way you must get saved. See, we need that. So we find then also that in that portion of Scripture, he gave the duration of this judgment that was going to come. And he says, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And according to the word of God, there was 3.5 years that there was going to be a drought in the land of Israel. A terrible drought was going to be over that land. Now, Jesus spoke of this over in the book of Luke when he talked about heaven being shut up for 3.5 years. The book of James speaks about the very same thing when he talked about that it rained not on the earth for 3.5 years. This was referring back to Elijah's time. And it was 3.5 years that this was going to happen. In fact, Elijah, by his word, determined the length of the duration of the judgment that was come. Now, I realize it was given unto him by the Lord, but he determined that. He said it's not going to rain, and it's not going to even have dew. If you'll notice here, not even going to have dew on the ground for 3.5 years was the duration of it. The reason I know that is because what the Bible says in the book of Luke, the reason what it says in the book of James, it was 3.5 years, exactly 3.5 years, this judgment come. Now, the terribleness of this judgment was this. Let's look in chapter 18, verse number 1 and 2. He says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in the land. A sore famine in the land. What God was saying unto us was that after close to 3.5 years, he was getting ready to go see Ahab and present himself, and so he was getting near the 3.5 years. And he said there was a horrible, horrible famine in the land. That famine was so bad, according to chapter 17, verse number 1, he said that there would be no dew upon the ground. Now, all of you, if you have you familiar with that, you know what dew does. I mean, sometimes in the summertime, I wonder if the dew's ever going to get off all day long. I went out in the afternoon. I mean, late in the afternoon, dew's still on the ground. Couldn't mow my yard because the dew was on there. Either did, you had to do it when it was wet because the dew stayed. The dew helps to feed and give moisture to the grass of the land. It's good. Without it, just things are going to dry up. God said there wouldn't even be any rain, but not only rain, there wouldn't be any dew. I mean, there'd be no moisture whatsoever. So we see also in chapter 17, Verse number 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now we find, of course, if we'd read all those verses in between, God sent to his prophet down to the brook Cherith, and there he was fed by the ravens, and there he got his water to drink. But we find out here in that verse of scripture that there came a time when this brook dried up. Now, folks, it was dry. I mean, after 3.5 years, it's dry. I mean, there's no water. I mean, things are simply dried up. You say, well, how bad was it? Look at chapter 17, verse 12. He says, and she saith, and this is the widow lady, and she saith, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering 2 sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Here was a little widow lady in Israel, and she'd come to the very last. She had just a little bit of oil left, just a little bit of meal left. She said, I'm going in, make some cakes out of it. My son and I is going to eat it, and we're going to die. Now, that's the terribleness of this famine on the land. It was bad. 3.5 years. Can you imagine Indiana not getting any rain or dew for 3.5 years? What would it look like? Now, that was what's happening. See, the judgment was a horrible, horrible thing. Look over in 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and verse number 5 and verse number 6. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. It had got so bad that evidently most of the beast had died. Because he said there that we don't want to lose all the beasts, but he said we want to try to save the horses and the mules alive. In other words, there was no grass in the land. Everything was simply dried up. There was nothing absolutely to eat. Now you say, Brother Ross, why are you telling this? What I'm saying is this. This was a judgment from God. This was God's judgment upon the land of Israel. And we're going to find out why in the world did this judgment come upon this land? Why was it God brought the judgment upon the land of Israel? I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to listen to it, because the same thing is happening in America. I want you to hear me. I want you to listen to it. America is turning away from God, and she's turning at a high speed away from God Almighty. You can't get by with that. We've gotten by with it for so long now, I'm just amazed at the long-suffering of God. It is amazing his long-suffering to a people here in America who's absolutely turning their back on God Almighty. Now, what did God send this judgment for? You know, I felt like with the Lord this week, because I said, God, I've been preaching on this. I preached not too long ago about the judgment of God. And I said, why would you want me to preach it again? And he just simply spoke to me, said, speak it again. Just speak it again. Do it again. I believe with all of my heart it's a message that just needs to be constantly hammered until we wake up. You see, judgment, God sends judgment, what for? To bring repentance amongst his people. Now go over with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. Verse number 13. And it came to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your souls, he says, that I will give you the rain of your land in the due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. And once again, I'm simply saying to you, the whole purpose for God doing this in Israel was the purpose of bringing repentance. He wanted his people to repent and turn to God. And when God brings judgment upon a land, I realize again that was Israel, that was his people, but the same principles God uses today, he's blessed America in such a wonderful way. Oh, America's been so blessed. And we are even today, folks, we're so blessed. And we've turned our back on God. And we don't want him to be the important part of our life. We want old Balaam. We want the gods of this world to be more important than him. Oh, you say, Brother Ross, no. Yes, that's true. God don't enter into most of Christians' thinking anymore from Monday through Saturday. God's just something that, yeah, he's out there whenever we need him. I sure want to call upon him and get his help. But too many times we don't ever do what he says to do. We might come here on Sunday morning and Sunday night and even Wednesday night, and that's good. I'm glad we do that. But folks, there's more to it than that. God's the God of every day that we live. He's the true and the living God, and he wants us to be dedicated to him all of our life, everything we have, whatever we do. Let him run our life, you see, and rule our land, you see, as he wanted to do for Israel. I want to show you over and remember them verses of Scripture. I probably won't turn back to them, but I'll refer back to them again. If you notice here, God says, if you do right and keep my commandments, I'll send the rain, and I'll do this, and I'll do all those things for you. And if you don't, he says, I'm not going to send the rain. I'm going to send a curse upon your land. You just kind of keep that in your mind, because I'll refer back to it in just a moment. But I want you to go over to the book of Psalms, the 107th Psalm. And I want to start reading at verse number 31. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord. And this is verse 31, 107th Psalm. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a faithful land into barrenness for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water and dry ground unto water springs. And he says, and there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may be prepared a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards which may yield fruit of increase. He blesseth them also so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to be decreased. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon the princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock, and the righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. And I'm going to stop there just for a moment. If you notice through there, God says he brought the dry wilderness and done some things and brought judgment upon the land. He also blessed the land. He done all this. But look what he says in that last verse. He says, whosoever is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, if we'd only understand it, all that God does for us, the judgment that God brings upon a land was done out of the loving kindness of God, because he loved us. Do you know it's those he loves that he chastises? Well, sure. Folks, if you're chastened of the Lord, that's because he loves you. Amen? Sure it is. God loves us so much, we've got to get an understanding that what God is doing here is not out of hate for us or just wanting to cause us problems, because he loves us and he's trying to get his people to come back with repentance in their heart, to come back to him. See, to preach that kind of judgment is not being hateful and hard-hearted or insensitive or unloving. It is love. When you preach the judgment of God upon us because he's trying to bring us back to him, that's love. That's the love of God for us, you see. Well, not only does he do that to bring repentance, he also does that to expose Baal for what he is or what it is. You see, Baal was the god of fertility. Baal was the rain and the good crop god. So God says, we'll just see what Baal can do. Amen. He exposed the old false gods for what they are. I don't know if you'll notice around, folks, America is forsaking God in so many areas, but yet at the same time, they're not getting help from the false gods they're looking to. The AIDS epidemic, folks, is not being helped by the bagel. The problems that we're having right now, and again, I know you're going to think, oh, Brother Ross is just a doomed prophet, but I want to tell you something. Everything looks great on the stock market. Everything looks great financially. Look out. You can believe it or you don't have to believe it. Look out. You say, well, Brother Ross, how do you know? Because of the promises of God, because of what he says in his word, when a country turns its back on God, what God is going to do. And we're going to be screaming for help one of these days financially, and the Baals don't have the answer. You see, and it'll expose them for what they truly, truly are. Not only that, does he not only bring repentance, but exposes Baal for who he is, but also to exalt Jehovah for who he is. The true and the living God. You see, in this day that we're reading about here, Baal was being honored in the land, and that had to be reversed. Baal today is being honored in the land. The old New Age movement, the old false gods of this world, the monetary God of this world is being honored in this world, and Jehovah God is not being honored in this world. That has to be reversed. God won't put up with that. You can just ask yourself, just let me ask you a question, and you answer it in your own mind. Is God Almighty honored in government today, in our governments of today? Is God honored? Do you believe he's honored in our governments today? Do you believe that they seek God's will and want his will to be done in government today? Let me ask you another question. Do you believe God is honored in the schools across America today? Your public schools and high schools, your colleges. Let me ask you, is he honored? You ask yourself, is God honored in those schools? But let me say to you, there's multitudes of churches this morning, God will not be honored. So we ask ourselves again, is the laws that's being made to govern this land godly laws? Now, I want to say something to you. That's going to be reversed. It may be in the millennial reign, but it's going to be reversed. And God's not going to put up with it. He's not going to allow Baal to be honored in America. He's going to be honored, or we're going to suffer the consequences. So I'm just simply saying to all of us, if you just look around a little bit and ask yourself, is God honored in this land and all the organizations and the things that I have mentioned? Is God truly honored? And I think you'd have to answer honestly. You'd have to say, no, he's not. And it may be even in our own homes, he's not honored like he should be. Is he put first place? Is what he says the rule of the day? Do we take time to even thank him and praise him for how good he is? Give him praise and glory and honor in our own homes today? What I'm simply saying to you folks is, if it's not, it's going to be reversed. God's going to do something about that. Suffer the consequences for putting Baal ahead of God. Now, why could Elijah speak as he did? Here's a man of God who came speaking the word of God. How could he do that? Look in chapter 17 again, 1 Kings 17. Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Elijah was a man of the word. He knew what God said in his word. You remember when I told you back to remember back to the word of God that we had read in Deuteronomy? He knew that principle. Elijah understood that when Israel turned away from God, there could be nothing else come but judgment. And he understood that. He knew that. There was no doubt in his mind. So when he preached this, there was no doubt it was going to happen. It was just a fulfillment of what God had said earlier was going to happen if they turned away from God. Now look in chapter 18, verse 36. And he says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. I'm doing this for the sake of time, not to read all of the scriptures, but you're probably pretty familiar with this story where Elijah stood there and called fire down out of heaven. And before that fire came down of heaven, he made sure that God understood that he was completely depending upon him. Now, the reason Elijah could stand and do these things and say these things and stand before a king and predict these things is because he was a man of the word and he believed in God. And not only that, he wanted God to have the glory and the honor for it all. And that's what he said in verse 36. I want them to know that there's a God in Israel. And that's what this thing is all about, folks. We need to live our lives in such a way and give honor and glory to God so that everybody around us will know there's a God in America whom we serve. And that he is the true and he is the living God. And Elijah here was a man who absolutely spoke with authority. Over in the New Testament talks about Jesus, and he said he spake as a man with authority. Well, Elijah spake with authority. And you know, it wasn't no ifs or ands or buts. It wasn't any perhaps. It wasn't any maybes. He was bringing the Word of God, the Bible. And he said, this is the way it's going to be. Now, what I can do to you today, I can't get new revelation from God. I don't want any new revelation. That would be unscriptural. But I can tell you what already God has said. And the same principles that God used back in the Old Testament, he's still using those same principles today. And we in America is not going to get by with turning our back on God. Just not going to get by with it. It isn't going to happen. Coming a day somewhere along the line when God is going to do what he must do in America. And that's why I'm trying to warn us. I'm trying to say, let's get our spiritual lives in order, folks. So that we can be ready to meet these hard and difficult times that's coming down the road. We'll be all right with God. We'll be trusting in God. We'll be worshiping God. We'll be trusting him. We'll be loving him. We'll be depending on him. We'll be busy serving about him, with him. And that's what he's asking us to do. Now, I'm saying to you and I, Elijah spoke with boldness. And the only way he could do that is because God gave him the power to do so. I'm saying to you and I, we need God's power in these troubled days to speak with boldness. And not only that, I'm going to spend a lot of time with it, but if you go back to the book of James, 5th chapter, 17th verse, you'll find out that Elijah was a man of prayer. And boy, do we need prayer in America for America. We need to be praying for this great land of ours, and we need to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ to have courage and boldness to stand in this difficult day. Now, folks, you need that. I need that. I hope God will raise some Elijahs. I hope God will just continue to raise up some Elijahs that will stand. Now, you know, I told you the other day, I feel like God wants me to just mention it again. What is your plans for this coming week? Is God in those plans? Now, I know every one of us has got things, probably a little bit of a schedule that we kind of got planned that we're going to do. Is God in it? Is the work of God involved in it? Is there anything where we've scheduled off some time to do the work of God? Amen? Don't you think that he deserves that? Don't you think that if we're going to plan our life for this coming 7 days, that he ought to have a portion of it? And not just the portion where we say, oh, I'll be on church on Wednesday there. Well, that's good. That's wonderful. That's a great thing to do. But that's not really serving him. That's coming and getting fed. And that's a good thing. That's the right thing. But you're coming to get fed. You don't even have to prepare unless you're in some kind of ministry. If you're in a ministry, then you have to prepare for it. But if you're not, you don't have to prepare. All you have to do is just come sit. Now, what I'm saying is, don't you think we ought to schedule some time this week for him? For the work of God? Doing something for the glory of God? Raise up as an Elijah and speak with boldness the precious Bible, the Word of God. Raise your children to be little Elijahs and whatever you want to call the girl side of them. Amen? Elijah just says, whatever it is. But raise them up to the glory of God. Amen? That there'll be somebody who'll stand in troubled times. It's on my heart. Troubled times are coming. I don't know when. No predictor, no setter of dates. But I just believe it's coming. And we just need to be ready. Amen? And in, you know the way you get ready? You just give yourself over to the Lord completely and fully and say this, God, I want to be like Elijah. I want to stand in your presence. And whatever you bid me do, I'm ready. You just tell me what to do, and I'll do it. Just give ourselves over to the Lord. And you'd be surprised what he'll use you for this week. If you do that and mean it, he won't work around your schedule. Amen? We're supposed to work around his schedule. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again thanking you for the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. Thank you for how good you are to us, Lord. And once again reminding us, Lord, of the seriousness of the hour we live in. And I pray, Father, that each and every one of us will give our hearts and our lives to you. Lord, we'd be willing to just mind you and do the will of God, whatever that might be for us, our lives. And so, Father, I pray that we'd be a people who'd be willing to present ourselves as a people who stands before the Lord, ready and prepared, just to do the will of God. And I pray that for all of us in Jesus' name. Amen.